Is it possible for us to have a better walk with God? Is it possible to improve our Christian life? Or does the 21st century just keep us trapped in a mundane and mediocre lifestyle? Not really committing any big sins, but at the same time, not achieving anything out of the ordinary for God. Just managing to hold our heads above the water, getting by rather than getting on. How do you maintain the quality of your Christian walk in the very ordinary world of work and family and church life that is part and parcel of our 21st century life? Life today seems to be designed to take up all our energy, and that's just for us to stand still. We never seem to be able to get ourselves out of the rat race. There's all kinds of pressure at work, targets to meet, deadlines, office politics to negotiate, shift work, overtime, on call 24/7. And then, of course, there's additional pressure at home. Visitors coming, kids to be taxied about the place, a list of jobs to be done around the house, people to visit, letters to write, emails to send, bills to pay. And there's, of course, this pressure at school, homework, projects, exams, time with friends, clubs, parties, sport. And what time is left then for church? It's hard to find the time and energy just to attend church, never mind trying to do anything else in the church. We're just so tired at the end of the week. And for me to make it through next week, I'm going to have to steal some extra time to rest. You earn a good salary, but then you have no time to spend it and enjoy it. Or you have the time, or you're on a low hourly rate, and to make ends meet, you have to work the extra hours. Perhaps the job requires you to work shifts, and your body never gets a chance to adjust to those changing hours. And how do you make any spiritual development when it's hard to even fit in 5 minutes to read or to pray? That's the way we can be left feeling about life in general. But we can also be left feeling that way about our Christianity. Since you have become a Christian, the pressures that you feel are enormous on top of the ones that you're already coping with. Problem number one is we never seem to be able to do things right. No matter how hard we try, we'll do the wrong thing, we'll say the wrong thing, or we'll think the wrong thing. And then to compound that, we get so depressed when we get it wrong. On the odd day, when we seem to have got it together, other things go wrong. A typical day, the alarm goes off. You didn't get to bed too early the night before, and you decide just to take 2 minutes extra sleep. And 45 minutes later, we wake up and realize what has happened. Out we go without breakfast, without talking to the family. Worse than that, because we were so late, we snapped at one of the kids, and all they wanted to know was, could they download a movie at the weekend? Late for work, you've forgotten the information you needed already, you have a throbbing headache because you didn't have your coffee, and you've still to have a meeting with that work colleague who really gets under your skin. You didn't pray that morning. And let's get real, there was no time whatsoever for reading the Bible. Perhaps there's a bit of guilt starting to develop about that, but you push that to the one side. Things at work are not going well, office politics just show how difficult people can be. And we have decisions to make, conversations to have, and they know you're a Christian, Others seem to be able to behave how they like, but yet they expect a higher standard of behavior from you. We manage somehow to make it through the day, head still throbbing. Ah, good. On your way home then. Key in the door, and the kids are already arguing about which channel to watch on TV. And then to crown it all, you just realized you've forgotten to do the messages that you assured your wife you wouldn't forget about. Feeling like this, you know you need to spend time with God, time with the family, but the prayer meeting is about to start in half an hour. Such is the day of the average evangelical, and we're the ones who are supposed to be poised to turn this country upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when you manage to find a little bit of time, prayer is so difficult. And there are just so many bits of the Bible that we don't understand. If this were not enough, there is the lot in the church that you have to contend with. Working through differences of opinion, adjusting to people with different perspectives. It's all very much hard work. Your daily pressures may be different to the ones that I've just described, but I think we can probably all identify with this list of mundane events that make up a good part of our lives and that in some way seem to be downright destructive to our Christianity. It's not the big battles of persecution that gets us, but it is the accumulation of the ordinary mundane events that make up such a large part of our lives that seem to trouble us. At times, Christianity and spirituality seem so remote from our day-to-day existence. But your Christianity, your spirituality, has to be worked out through those very ordinary and mundane circumstances. The pressures you face may be slightly different from those that I've just described, but through those day-to-day, very ordinary pressures, God wants us to develop, to become the people that He desires us to be. Speaking into circumstances like this, there are two words from our Bible passage in 1 John that bring to us the helpful, reassuring instruction for our spiritual lives. The words are remain and continue. For us to survive the life we have to live, there are things that have to remain in us, and there are things that we need to remain in. These Christians that John is writing to are being gradually worn out by the daily grind of life, and they need to know how godly living can be maintained, how it can be developed. First of all, this word remain in us. If we go back to verse 24, we are commanded, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. One of the strategies that the author urges his readers to employ in order to maintain their spiritual vitality in the face of all these outward pressures is to hold firm to the word of God that they have heard from the beginning. The truth of God's word in our hearts and lives is the way that the Holy Spirit uses to keep us close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship with the Father and with the Son remains a pressure. It's a reality that we should develop in our lives as we allow the word to remain in us. How do I let that word remain or abide in me? A good exercise is to go through is to get a pen and paper and write down how the psalmist in Psalm 119 relates to the word and how the word relates to him. Notice what he says. Walk according to, keep, obey with all his heart, consider and learn, live according to, hide it in his heart, prays that he will be taught by the word. He repeats the promises out loud. He rejoices, he meditates, he will not neglect. He prays that he will be able to see wonderful things. He prays that God will not hide the truth. He's consumed with longing. The word is his counselor. It's his preservation. It is his strength. He sets his heart on it. He holds fast. He runs in the path. He delights. It's good for him. He longs for it. He trusts the word of God. He hopes because of the word of God. He seeks out the word. He loves the word. He doesn't turn away from that word. He sings the word. He sings the truth. He follows it. He believes it. He's comforted by it. And it is the joy of his heart. How does such an attitude towards God's word come about? By letting it remain in us. By being in that word and gradually come to see its wisdom and its worth. And to allow our minds to become saturated by the thought of God. How can we survive the times and circumstances in which we live? By taking heed to that word that we have heard from the beginning. In Psalm 1, the psalmist says that the wise person is the person who delights, whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. There is no substitute for meditating and feeding upon the word of God on a daily basis. No matter how busy life is, find the time to read God's word. If you have tried to read the word and you just don't get anything out of it, you find yourself just reading a chapter just to get it done, but you feel that you might have just read the newspaper, try reading less, just a few verses, and keep a notebook or write in the notebook or type it into your phone what you think the verse means. That's a very effective way of getting your mind to concentrate on what you read. And then those verses will come to your mind at various times throughout the day. It's important that we remain in the word if the word is to remain in us. But it requires effort. It requires planning. It requires our diligence. If we are going to learn to meditate on his law day and night, don't start with a big program of reading. If you're not used to doing that, start small and then build on that. Secondly, it says that the Holy Spirit remains in you. As for you, John says, verse 27, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Now, why this emphasis on remaining, abiding, and continuing? It's because, John says, verse 26, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. There are any number of distractions out there in our lives to lead us astray, to take us away. There was an attempt in the case that John, the church that John is writing to, there was an attempt by false teachers to lead these good people astray. The pressure on them was immense and it was constant. They would waken up in the morning and think about it. They would meet with their friends during the day and they would talk about what the teachers were saying. Those teachers that had left them, those teachers that were constantly getting at them, challenging them. at times they went one way and then another. They wanted to do the right thing. The problem is that at times, depending on who was doing the explaining, the new way seemed to be good for them. And then they would listen to the, in the next moment, they would go back to the message that they had heard from the beginning, and they felt that that was best. And the Christians were confused, and they were upset, and they were in such a muddle, their heart was crying out for relief. Let me out of this. Give me rest. Far better for me to be back than in non-Christians' days, when I didn't have half of this lot to worry about. John speaks to weary, downhearted Christians, and he tells them to remain, to abide, to continue. What's going on in your world right now? Do the words "remain in him," "continue in him," say anything? It did to John's readers. They had all received the anointing of the Holy Spirit at the time of their salvation. And they did not need to be upset by these false teachers, because the Spirit of God was a witness to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. These false teachers were saying, you have to have this extra thing that we have. You need to have this extra knowledge that we have. And you need to have this extra anointing that we have. John says no to all of that. You have the Word and you have the Holy Spirit. See to it that you remain in him, that you remain in Christ. The really encouraging thing that John had to say to these Christians was that the anointing of the Holy Spirit remains. Come false teaching, come persecution, come difficulty, despondency, or discouragement, the anointing of the Holy Spirit remains in them, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Having believed, Paul says in Ephesians 1:13 and 14, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. You were marked in him with a seal, that seal of ownership. You belong to the Lord. You have this promised Holy Spirit. And God is never going to leave us. He is never going to take away the Holy Spirit from us. We all need teaching, but we don't have to be pressurized by these false teachers, because we have the witness of the Holy Spirit, and that anointing is real. It is not counterfeit. We have the objective witness of the Word, and we have the subjective witness of the Holy Spirit within us, testifying to the truth. The Word is made real to us by the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we all received at conversion. John says, you are not second-class Christians. You have the anointing, and the Holy Spirit has taught you to remain in him. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The people that we don't need teaching us are these false teachers. God, through the help of the Holy Spirit, has given us teachers in the church, teachers in the Bible colleges, teachers through the many books that we can turn to. If we want to equip ourselves for God's work, we'll be able to equip ourselves by committing ourselves to these means of teaching, that we might grow and understand the Word of God. The pressure on us today is in a world that keeps telling us that we are irrelevant. So much are we told this that at times we begin to feel it, we begin to believe it. When you look around and see the mess that sin brings, you can't help feeling, well, what's the point? What makes it relevant is that silent witness of the Holy Spirit that opens the Word of God to you and says to us that it does matter. Thirdly, we are to remain in Christ. Verse 28, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Whatever else is going on around you, remain in Christ. Abide in him. Stay put. Don't leave. Draw your strength from Christ, just as the Holy Spirit has taught you to do. In verse 28, there is that command to remain, to continue, to abide. In this context, the word is commanding us. It's not just there for information. John is saying, by the authority invested in me by Almighty God, I command you to continue in Christ with a view to the future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, John? Because if you continue in Christ when he comes, you'll appear before him and you'll not be ashamed. John, these false teachers are telling me that I'm going to lose out. My sins and my failings and the pressures that are getting me down, I'm not fit for glory. Yes, little children, dear children, John says, that's my point. You're not fit for glory, not on your own. And that's why we need to continue in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, the Christian is not going to be found shivering and shaking with a sense of shame. These false teachers were trying to give the Christians a kind of complex. Not so, says John. No shame, but we'll be confident. We'll stand up on that day and take our place with Christ, in Christ. We'll be there unashamed and confident because Christ has taken away our sin shame. Trials and difficulties and disappointments may make you feel today like the underdog. You may feel troubled. You may have suffered injustice. But come what may, we have a date with Christ. That date is coming. That program has been planned by the sovereign God, guided by the providence of God. We're moving towards a destiny of bodily resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, dear children, continue in him, remain in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. But you say, will he still want me? I've given the Lord Jesus Christ so much trouble down these years. I've struggled my way through, if I'm honest. And I feel such a hopeless failure. He'll have you, and you won't be ashamed, because you'll be in Christ. Christ is our sufficiency. Christ will get us there, because we are in Christ. We are with Christ, and Christ is with us. If you want strength to hold on, strength to remain, strength to abide, then think about the massive resource that God has given every child of God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. He remains in us to help us, to guide us, to teach us. And then to help us continue in Christ, to continue being Christ-like in all that we do and say. Thinking forward to that day when Christ will bring you to be with himself, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What should I do then in response to this word? We should pledge ourselves to be more often in the Word of God, to be found more often in prayer, depending upon the indwelling Holy Spirit for understanding. We should seek to stay close to Christ by remaining and continuing in him. Life is busy. Life is filled with many decisions that we have to make. There are many pressures on us at work, at home, at school, in the church. Many disappointments with ourselves, many goals that we haven't achieved, many things that we thought we might have accomplished and perhaps feel we'll never accomplish. But there's one thing that I can accomplish today. I can open up God's Word. I can read a few verses. And if it's my thing to take a piece of paper, a notebook, and write down what I think that verse means, and if it's not your thing to write, then get out your phone and type it in. Just the act itself of thinking about how you're going to express what you've just read in your own words will start to instill that in your mind, and you'll not just be glossing over the words. You'll actually be thinking about the words. That's meditating. And meditating is a skill that we can build upon. And we can use these little practical tips to help us. Because one day can roll into another, can roll into a week, can roll into a month. And we found ourselves having spent very little time in the Word of God. If we want the Word to remain in us, we will have to remain in it. We will have to read it. We'll have to apply it. And God has given us the helper of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do these things. Let's pledge ourselves then to be more frequently in the Word of God, more frequently in prayer, and depending upon that truth that God has given us, that we are in Christ, and because we are in Christ, we will not be ashamed before Him at His coming.